Welcome to Sabbath School on It Is Written TV. I'm John Bradshaw, and we are beginning a new quarter. That means a brand new quarterly, new subject matter. And you are going to be blessed this quarter. This quarterly is called Making Friends for God, The Joy in Sharing in His Mission. Making Friends for God, The Joy in Sharing in His Mission. And I'm very blessed to be able to welcome to Sabbath School the author of this current quarterly. He is Pastor Mark Finley. He is the assistant to the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Pastor Finley, thanks for joining me on Sabbath School.
John, what a joy to be with you. It's always great to be with you at It Is Written.
You know what I'm thinking, Mark, as we look at this study guide? I know quarterlies are a challenge to write. They're a big thing. You wrote the companion book. You wrote the teacher's edition. But I imagine that this subject is a subject you really enjoyed.
It is. You know, my whole life was changed some years ago. I was a very young pastor attending a pastor's meeting. And, you know, I felt I had the burden of the world on my shoulders. I felt in those young years that if I went out and witnessed and somebody didn't respond positively, that I was a failure. And an older pastor got me aside and he said this: mission is God's. We have the joy of cooperating with him in his mission. That before we even reach out to any individual, before we knock on a door, give a Bible study, hold a health program, do youth meeting, whatever it is, that God is already at work in that community. What a burden to know that mission is God's.
Yeah, that's a ministry changing perspective, isn't it? This week, the lesson is entitled, Why Witness? Why Witness? Well, there's an entire lesson devoted to that, so I don't really want you to let the cat out of the bag at the beginning. We'd have nothing more to study. So let's talk about the philosophy, perhaps even the theology of witnessing. How do you approach that?
Well, witnessing first is sharing what Christ has done for me. You remember the story of the demoniacs that were transformed by the grace of Christ, and they wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus then said to them, go tell your friends the great things that the Lord has done for you. New Testament witnessing is telling the story of Christ. It's telling about how I've been charmed by his love, redeemed by his grace, transformed by his power. It's telling about who he is. It's not necessarily trying to convince somebody of what I believe is true. It's rather sharing his grace, mercy, and love.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm sure many of us, and even some of us who don't now, may once have before, have got this a little bit confused, and we think that witnessing is about convincing somebody about right doctrines. They are wrong. I am right. We are right. Even though witnessing can go down that road, that's out of sorts or at odds with what is written on the very first page of the lesson quarterly itself, where you write, witnessing is all about Jesus. It's about what he has done to save us and about how he has changed our lives. That's going to be our focus throughout this quarter. We are in for a wonderful ride. Sunday, Pastor Finley, providing opportunities for salvation. What's that all about?
Well, you know, one of the things you have to wrestle with is, if God is doing everything he can to save people, why witness? Isn't God revealing himself in nature? Isn't God showing himself? Don't the heavens declare the glory of God? Isn't God revealing himself through his Holy Spirit in individual hearts? Isn't God arranging the providences of life? So if God is doing all of that, why witness? And I really wrestled with that, John, very, very deeply, philosophically. And here's a conclusion that I've come to based on Scripture. We can look at nature, but nature is very confusing. The same sun that ripens the crops, that same sun can scorch the crops and cause famine. The same rose that smells so beautiful has thorns that can rip your hands apart. The same wind that gently blows can blow in a tornado and it can destroy homes. So nature is very confusing. The providences of God and the impressions of the Holy Spirit all come through my defiled human nature so I can be confused. So what is the clearest revelation of God's love? What's the clearest revelation of God's will? That's the Word of God. So we witness not to give people their only chance, but to give people their best chance. We witnessed because love motivates us to give people the clearest revelation of God's love and grace, and that's found in Scripture. Now, one more thought on that. If you look at the book of Romans, it's arranged in an interesting way. In Romans chapter 1, the Gentiles who see the revelation of God in nature are not saved because of that. They're lost. The Jews who see the revelation of God in Scripture are not saved. They're lost. By the time you come to Romans 3, the Gentiles are lost, the Jews are lost, all humanity is lost. Romans 3 through 5 presents salvation, justification by grace through Christ. Romans 6 through 8 presents sanctification by grace through Christ. When you come to Romans 10, it raises the question, how then shall they be saved? Through preaching, through the sharing of God's word. So the book of Romans points out that from the church's standpoint, there is no salvation outside of an understanding of an accepting of Christ. That leads you then to say, what about the Muslim world? What about the Hindu world? Does that mean if they haven't heard about Jesus, they're lost? This is what that means. It means that there is no salvation in Hinduism. That does not save people. There's no salvation in Islam. That does not save people. But there are many honest-hearted Hindus, many honest-hearted Muslims who've never had the chance to know or understand. And if God saves them because of the revelation he has revealed to them in their hearts or nature, that's up to God. So you have a coin with two sides. One side is the sovereignty of God. He will save some who have not heard yet of Jesus. But their hearts are open and responsive. That's the sovereignty of God. But on the other side of the coin is the church. And as far as the church is concerned, we have a commission to witness. There is no salvation outside of Christ. We witness to give people their best opportunity so that they can be saved in God's kingdom.
Now, there's a really, I think, a beautiful concept that you bring out in a Monday's section. And this is making Jesus glad. Now, there's a thought. When we witness, when we share, when our hearts are turned to God, when someone is saved, the Bible tells us that there is joy in heaven. Walk us through some of those thoughts that you share on Monday.
Has anybody ever said to you, John, how's your day going? You know, somebody will walk by me on the street and say, oh, good to see you, Mark. How's your day going? I feel like tapping them on the shoulder some days, you know, say, you got about an hour. I'll tell you all the challenges I faced today. Sit down on that bench over there, buddy. But, you know, it's just kind of a polite thing that they want to do. Have you ever knelt down by your bed at night and said, now, God, tell me a little bit about how your day is going? I'm not going to ask you for anything. I'm not going to beg you for anything, but I want to know, God, what kind of a day did you have today? And I think if we listened sensitively, God would say to us, I had a rough day today. I had to attend 100,000 funerals today, and many of those people were lost. I was with children who have extended bellies, and they were starving to death in India. I was with a woman who's abused and sold into sexual slavery. I was with a family who the tornado hit their house and killed their three kids. I was with a woman whose husband came home drunk and hit her in the nose, and it broke her nose and blood ran down her face. You asked me how my day went. It was really rough. I saw the sorrow, the sickness, the suffering of our world. But Jesus, was there anything that made you glad today? Yes, yes. There was a young man giving a Bible study. There was somebody else sharing Christ with his friend. There was somebody else that was praying with a person who just went through a divorce. You see, in the Bible, you look at Luke chapter 15, lost and found. There's a sheep that was lost and was found, and there was joy in heaven. There was a coin from the dowry of a woman that was lost and found, and it was joy in heaven. There was a boy that came back home after he had left his family and his father and went out with the pigs and sold and spent all his money, and he came home and there was a big party. Zephaniah chapter 3 says that when Jesus sees us come to Christ and when we come to salvation, that he sings over us. So why witness? Because deep within our hearts, we long to make Jesus glad. We long to bring joy to his face in a world of sorrow.
It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. I'm going to read it, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. What an amazing thought to hear the God of the university sing with joy. Again, we go back to a point we made a moment ago. There is joy in heaven when somebody repents. As we share our faith, the heart of God is made glad. Tuesday, Pastor Finley, we have almost 3 minutes. We don't need to get through the entire day. We can double back around in the second half of this program. It's entitled Growing by Giving. You talk about the Dead Sea, you know, and that's an interesting study. The water in the Red Sea kind of, the Dead Sea is not especially healthy. It's not brimming with marine life. We can, if we like, be a stagnant pond, or we could be a river through which the grace of God flows. So let's talk about this idea of growing by giving. In other words, sharing our faith is good for us.
Yeah. You know, I love Israel. And you and I both, Pastor John, have been there many times. But, you know, you go up to the north, you go to the Sea of Galilee, and the waters come down from the mountains into the Sea of Galilee. It's fresh, it's filled with fish, it's clean and pure. And then that river flows to the River Jordan, flows down to the Dead Sea. But there's no outlet to the Dead Sea, and the Dead Sea is about 33.7% solid waste, and the fish die in it. You know, you can lay on your back and read the newspaper. Why? Water flows in, but it doesn't flow out. And so if we take in the grace of God and breathe it in, but we don't breathe it out, we're like a person who breathes in but does not breathe out, and unless you inhale and exhale, you die spiritually. Ellen White makes an amazing statement in Desire of Ages, page 142. She says, God could have reached his object in saving sinners without our aid, but in order for us to develop a character like Christ's, we must share in his work. One of the reasons why God invites us to be participants in the work of salvation is so that as we do, we grow spiritually. Soul winning starves selfishness to death because we focus on others and not ourselves.
Absolutely right. I said long ago, I figured out quickly that evangelism, that I was not God's gift to evangelism, but rather evangelism or sharing my faith with others was God's gift to me. Let me share this here. It's a question for you to think about. Bottom of Tuesday's lesson. What have been your own experiences in witnessing to others, praying with others, and ministering to the needs of others? How have these experiences impacted your own faith and walk with the Lord? Think about that. And when you do, you'll more than likely say, I can see how these experiences have helped me to grow. And at the end of Sunday's lesson, this is really interesting. Pastor Finley has written, think about this too. How many people have heard the gospel from your own lips? When we don't share, we deprive ourselves of an opportunity to grow as well as others. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with more in just a moment of Sabbath School on It Is Written TV. You know that at It Is Written, we are serious about studying the Word of God, and we encourage you to be serious as well. Well, here's what you do if you want to dig deeper into God's Word. Go to itiswritten.study for the It Is Written Bible Study Guides online. 25 in-depth Bible studies that will take you through the major teachings of the Bible. You'll be blessed, and it's something you'll want to tell others about as well. itiswritten.study. Go further. itiswritten.study. Welcome back to Sabbath School on It Is Written TV. What a fantastic lesson we've got. This quarter, we start a brand new quarter this week, Making Friends for God, The Joy in Sharing in His Mission. And my guest is Pastor Mark Finley, the assistant to the president of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Pastor Finley, thanks for being with me today. I really appreciate this.
I'm delighted to be with you, John.
Well, we're going to carry on where we left off, and that would put us in Wednesday. Faithfulness to Christ's command. There are a couple of Bible verses listed here. I'm going to read them both. The question is, what do these passages tell us about the heart of God? What is His priority? What's God's priority? So we'll look first At 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says this, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." And then 2 Peter 3, verse 9, we remember Paul wrote to Timothy, God wants everyone to be saved. And Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." I want you to carry on from where I leave off, Pastor Finley. You write in the lesson on Wednesday, God is passionate about saving people. Go ahead.
There is nothing more important to God than saving human beings. You know, God had only one son, and his son became a soul-winning evangelist. The Bible says in Luke 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. Jesus left the glories of heaven. He left the worship of the angels. He left the adoration and praise of heavenly beings. These angelic beings would wing their way to worlds afar at the command of Christ. But he left all that. He came to this snake pit of a world, this polluted, sin-cursed planet, and he came on a redemptive mission for one reason, to save you and to save me. And when we understand what's in the heart of God, you know, in 2 Peter 3, 9 that Pastor John just read, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, there are two interesting words. One is willing, and the other is but. Not willing. The word for willing there is blomai in the Greek language, which is the language of the New Testament. And blomai means a strong inclination of the mind. It means a strong desire. It means an inner intent and purpose that will not be satisfied until the thing for which it desires is realized. And so God is not willing, that is to say, that he has a strong desire, that he has this inclination, that he will do anything to save us. He's not willing that any should perish. Then it says, but. Now, the but is there to contrast, and the but is saying, but desires all men to be saved. In other words, the but is talking about the nature of God, that God's nature is one that's a salvific nature. It's one that's a saving nature. It's one that is a redemptive nature. Now, here's the very point of this. The title of our lesson is Why Witness? Is it possible to say I'm a follower of Christ, but not be interested in what Jesus is interested in? If Christ's intent, desire, or passion is to save all humanity, can I say that I'm a true follower of Christ if I have no interest in the salvation of my friends, my working associates, my neighbors, if I have no interest in reaching out and witness to the community? So to be faithful to the command of Christ that's outlined in actually at the end of each of the Gospels, to be faithful to that command means that I'm interested in what Jesus is interested in, that my heart beats with his heart, that my mind is one with his mind, that my actions are in harmony with his actions. If he's interested in the salvation of others and I come to Jesus, I become interested in the salvation of others too.
In Acts chapter 13, Isaiah 49 and verse 6 is quoted. I'm going to read Acts 13:47. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set you to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." God says, that's why I put you on the earth. Now, Pastor Finley, you ask a very important question at the bottom of Wednesday's section. I want to ask you the question and hear what you have to say. What are the dangers to the church, even a local church, if it becomes so inwardly focused that it forgets what its purpose is to begin with? And before you answer, we've seen this. People see this. I don't say this to be critical, but it's very easy, evidently, to lose sight of mission and to get all caught up in things that are everything but what the mission is. So I wonder if you have a look at answering that question. What are the dangers when we forget our mission and we become inwardly focused, not outwardly focused? Pastor Finley.
We can look at both sides of that coin, Pastor John. When a church becomes inwardly focused, typically it will be a church that's divided. It'll be a church that gets involved in petty arguments. It'll be a church that has a lot of conflict over who's elected to what particular office. There'll be a power struggle for position, a power struggle for the budgets of the church. When a church becomes inwardly focused, it often will wallow in lackadaisical Laodicean complacency. It will have a church that is spiritually dead. There won't be much life in the services. People will come basically out of formality. It can easily become a social club. And so there can be many dangers. One danger of conflict, one danger of conflict among the members, another danger is Laodicean complacency. Another danger is spiritual death, where people come and go. On the other side of that coin, when a church is active in witness, there is a focus or concentration on this community and others. That church tends to be unified. It tends to be a praying church. It tends to be a church that has spiritual life. And I think one of the best examples of that is the New Testament church. You'll recall that before Pentecost, the New Testament church, James and John, were arguing over who was going to sit on the right hand and the left of Christ. They were arguing over who was the greatest. The disciples were divided with a variety of petty arguments. They had different personalities, different ways of looking at things. You had Peter, who spoke at times before he thought, kind of a loudmouth fisherman. You had Matthew, who was very exact, a tax collector, very particular. You have James and John, who often lost their temper. You have Thomas, who doubted. And when you look at that list of disciples, quite an array. And before Pentecost, the church was focused inwardly. At Pentecost, when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of Samaria, the ends of the earth." When you look at what was really going on there and what happened there, when you begin to take a look at that, when they focused on witness, when they focused on the community, one interest swallowed up every other. Their petty arguments were put aside. The church became vibrant. They became a praying church, a studying church. They study the Bible. And that happens in local churches today. When we focus and focus and focus on the thing that is near to God's heart, it brings spiritual life to the church rather than spiritual death.
Making Friends for God, the joy in sharing in his mission. That's the title of this quarterly's study quarterly in Sabbath School. The author is Pastor Mark Finley, and he's joining me here on Sabbath School on It Is Written TV. Thursday, motivated by, I'm not even going to finish the sentence. Anyone with a quarterly is going to say, "Oh, I know what it says next." So what's the motivation, and how do we get that motivation, and how can we keep the fires of motivation burning when it comes to sharing our faith and shining as a light for Christ?
You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 and 18 to 20, the Apostle Paul says that the love of Christ constrains us. What does that mean, constrains us? Well, constrains means that it causes us to do things. The love of Christ. So how do you get motivated? Each morning as we open the Word of God and are filled with His Word, each day as we're on our knees seeking Him, the more Christ changes us and the more we become like Him, the more we want to share His love with others. Because the more we love Jesus, the more we want to share that love. And the more we share that love, the more we love Jesus. So love is the motivating force. The motivating force is not pride. The motivating force isn't to make a name for ourselves. The motivating force isn't numbers. The motivating force is not even church growth, because church growth is the result of witness. One of the things that we say to people is this: let the love of Christ change your heart, and then make a friend. Then make a Christian friend. Then make a Seventh-day Adventist Christian friend. You know, earlier we pointed out that witnessing is all about Jesus. I wouldn't want anybody to think that witnessing has nothing to do with doctrine, because you can't separate Christ from doctrine. When I say that witnessing is all about Jesus, it is all about Jesus. It's about the completeness of Jesus. It's not some mystical Christ. But if witnessing is about Jesus, it's about what Jesus taught about salvation. It's about what Jesus taught about His second coming. It's what Jesus taught about death. It's what Jesus taught about the Sabbath. So the fullness of Christ is the fullness of everything he is and everything he taught. So when I'm motivated by love, I want other people to know the Christ that has changed me, and I want them to know his teachings, which change our lives.
I appreciate you mentioning that, because too often today, once would be too often, but far too often today, we hear people say, well, I don't want to talk about doctrine, I want to talk about Jesus. Bible students ought to understand that Christ and doctrine cannot be separated. Doctrine's not a dirty word. Jesus didn't come to this earth to leave doctrine behind or de-emphasize. He was doctrine embodied. All right, I'm going to ask you one last question, and I'll give you about 60 seconds to answer. It's from Friday. It's a really interesting question. Can witnessing in service ever become a substitute for genuine spirituality? If so, how, and how can we be careful of that trap? We could take the entire class time to talk about that. I'll give you 60 seconds.
It can, because you look at the church at Ephesus. The Bible says that I know your works and your labor. The word for labor there in Revelation 2 is your intense desire to do. It has to do with being exhausted in labor. So the church at Ephesus was doctrinally pure. It was exhausting its labor. But Jesus said, I've somewhat against you because you left your first love. You can witness without loving, but you cannot love without witnessing. And so a person can witness mechanically, but when they do this and it becomes mechanical, it becomes formal, it becomes ritualistic. But love always leads to witnessing. But if you witness without a strong devotional life, if you witness without a strong prayer life, if you witness without a strong Bible study life, your witnessing is activity, but it becomes hollow and powerless.
Pastor Mark Finley, thank you. I appreciate that very much. The author of this quarterly Making Friends for God, The Joy in Sharing in His Mission. Pastor Finley, let's do this again. I appreciate you joining me. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, John.
And by the way, I want you to know that you can get the companion book, the Sabbath School companion book, same title as the Lesson Quarterly, written by Pastor Finley. Extra information. It'll be a wonderful read all on its own, but it will also enhance your enjoyment and the blessing you receive from studying the quarterly. You can get it from a number of places, but one of those places is itiswritten.shop, and you can go there 24 hours a day, 6 days a week. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll do this again next time. Until then, God bless you. This has been Sabbath School on It Is Written TV.